Yes, amen. We've been talking about fire, and last week you remember we read the story of Lazarus and the rich man, and how they both went to Hades, I believe it was. Yeah, in the New Testament, the Greek word is Hades. In the Old Testament, the word is Sheol, and the place of the dead. And there was fire, and there was torment for the rich man. And one of the things I remember about what Jesus did say about the hell, and brought it out again in the story of the rich man, is that there was a fire. The worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Okay? And I've been doing a lot of thinking about that fire. And there can be fires in us, in our soul, fires of passion, fires of what have you. And if we don't deal with these fires during this life, and we end up in hell, those fires will continue to burn. We gave a few examples, you remember, addictions. We remember that scene in the bar where this spirit of this doctor was taken by the Lord in the 1940s. He saw these people addicted to cigarettes, spirits, couldn't get a hold of them. Alcoholic, disembodied souls trying to get a hold of it. And these kind of things are going to burn forever and ever unless they're dealt with by the blood of Jesus. And we need to get free of these kind of things. And it isn't just physical addictions. One of the things we're going to look at today is rebellion. Okay, and let me just write that up here on the board. I'm going to write this. The fire of rebellion. Let me put it that way. Fires of rebellion. And we're going to see an example in the days of Moses. Now, let's look over into the 16th chapter of Numbers. It's one chapter. And I don't know how many times you've read over this chapter. It's about some men in Israel that rose up in rebellion against Moses. Now, this isn't the first time rebellion came up in Israel. And maybe as we go through, we can back up a little bit from there and look at some other occasions. But I'm thinking, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking back, what is it that makes rebellion in people?
Self.
Yeah, you can say, well, these people were slaves, so they have a right to rebel. But what was it? Pride, okay. Yeah, and I'm thinking, well, if rebellion, if slavery was the thing that put that rebellion in them, then why did they want to go back into Egypt and become a slave again? So it doesn't make any sense. So let's start reading, and maybe we'll just take our time with this chapter and see what's really going on. Okay? It says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and An, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. All right? So it says they took men. In other words, this rebellion began to draw other people into the movement. They were having a movement. Okay? Boy, don't we see movements today? Rebellion movements, you know, and they're not these movements are not all trying to bring justice and that type of thing. They have another agenda. Okay, I mean you can bring all kinds of justice. You can make all kinds of laws, set everything at right, and you're still going to have these people want to rebel. So these are the men. It says they took men. They took others with them. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now, these are not just nobodies. These are not just people they dragged in off Skid Row and you know, bums and what have you. 250 men of renown, princes, politicians, people that were well known, people that were heads of the families, people that were elders, people that were should have been spiritual leaders among the people. All right, some of them were maybe people that had good businesses. You know, they were making money. They were hiring other people. They were people of production, shall we say? So they drew quite a bit in. It says, and they gathered themselves together against Moses. So what's the problem here? What is the problem with Moses? What did they have against Moses? I don't know. Except the devil didn't want Moses in the position that he was in. Now, I don't know what title you want to give Moses. Against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Now, here's rebels talking about holiness. Now, that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Rebels talking about how everybody here, we're all holy like you. You're just taking too much on yourself. And every one of them, and the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. So why are you exalting yourself? Why are you assuming the position that you have? Now, I'm wondering how many of them know that the Lord met Moses at the burning bush?
They should have all known.
Did they forget? How many of them were there at the Red Sea? Now, this is only This is barely 2 years after they left Egypt. How many of them crossed the Red Sea? All of them. I mean, maybe some 2-year-old babies here don't remember. But these are mature men. They saw the miracles. They saw the plagues of Egypt. They saw everything else. They saw the rod of Moses. They saw the authority that God gave Moses. We don't find any record here of Moses taking bribes. We don't find any record here of graft or Moses stealing anything that doesn't belong to him. We don't find Moses beating up on people that disagreed with him. We don't find Moses making a list of his political enemies and promising they're never going to get a job and they're never going to get anything like that, did we? No, we don't find Moses doing that. He's just conducting the business of God. Moses and Aaron. All right? Now, it says, and when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Amen? What is Moses' response?
Humility.
What would be the response of Cesar Chavez, shall we say? What's his name there, that guy in Argentina?
Maduro?
No, Chavez. The dictator.
The previous. Right.
No, I think he's still there.
He's still there? Okay.
Whatever. All right, Fidel Castro. What would his response be if a few men came with 250 of his friends and said, "You take too much on yourself"?
Same as Hitler.
Yeah, he'd have them all killed. At least thrown in jail for 100 years and killed. Yeah, Hitler. Stalin. None of these men would fall on their face before God if confronted with such a situation. Okay? So we see a man of God here. Humility. Now listen to this statement. He says, then he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy. Now, do you believe the Lord knows who is his?
Yes.
Okay, let me finish. And will cause him to come near to him, even him whom he hath chosen, will he cause to come near to him. Now, let me find a verse in the New Testament that confirms what this just said. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So the Lord does not make mistakes in choosing those who are his, and he knows who are his. He doesn't make a mistake. So before we go any further, I want to see who these fellows really are. Okay, we find it seems that there's two groups here that have come together, and maybe I should explain where these fellows live too. But first of all, let's see who they are. Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. So let's just make a little flow chart here. We have Levi, 16. Numbers. Numbers 16. Okay. So we have Levi, and Levi has how many sons? It doesn't say here, but he has Kohath, and he has Gershom, and he has Merari. I don't need to put all three of these. It's just Kohath that we're looking at here. All right. Now, the Kohathites, from Kohath comes whom? From Kohath, the son of Kohath. There are several sons. I'm just going to name two of them. Amram and Izhar. And what's the other one? How do you spell it? Izhar, I think. So from Kohath, we have... There's other sons. I'm just looking at these two. And from Amram, we have Moses. We have Aaron. And we have Miriam. And from Izhar, we have Kohath. And I think he probably has brothers. So now, what is the relationship between Moses and Kohath? They're first cousins. Their fathers are brothers. Korah. I'm sorry. K-O-R-A-H. All right. Korah and Moses and Aaron, first cousins. This is in their same family. Okay? Now, in the other, this is one group. Korah has stirred up a rebellion and brought 250 of his cronies together. On the other side, we have Reuben. Okay? Reuben. So we have Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and An, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben. So these two fellows are brothers, Dathan and Abiram. I'll just write them here. Dathan and Abiram. And then we have another fellow named An, who is their cousin, and they come from Reuben. Now, it's interesting to see the location. I don't know if you were here. I did this study when I was in Texas, but where the location of these tribes were in relation to the tabernacle. Here's the tabernacle. I'm just not going to... This is east. This is south. north and west. Judah, well, Aaron and the priests were right here next to the tabernacle at the gate of the tabernacle. Okay? And then Judah was the main tribe, and then the other tribes, and the main tribe on the south side was Reuben. Now, next to the tabernacle, however, were the Kohathites. Korah was a Kohathite. Of all the Levites, the Kohathites, the Merarites and the Gershonites, the Kohathites had the most prized position of all three of the Levite tribes, except for the priests. Okay, you have the priests, the Kohathites, the Merarites and the Gershonites. I forget which way these two were. The Kohathites, when the tabernacle moved, they had the privilege of carrying the holy furniture. I mean, the golden altar, the table of showbread, the lampstand. And there were times in the beginning, before there were enough priests to do it, they actually carried the ark. Before there were enough, see, the priests had to multiply enough, you know, it was just the two brothers there together at first. So the Kohathites had a privilege that no other Levite had. And yet they were not satisfied with that. They were going to have a fight with their cousin over here, the priests, and say, well, we want the priest job too. Now, I'm sure this little story in Numbers is a delightful story to ministers who believe in authoritarian type of pastors and what have you. Boy, don't anybody rebel against you, or the earth is going to open up and fire is going to devour you. You do what I say or else. Or the monarchical bishopric, where the bishop is the monarch. You know what I mean? I'm sure they love this little story. But that isn't the point of the story. Don't you dare rebel against me. That's not the message. Moses is not rising up and trying to give everybody a message. You obey me, boy, or I'll put the fear of God in. It was God that stood up and said, this is my man, I'm going to defend him. Moses did not have to defend himself in any manner. God, if you don't want me, I'll just lay down. I'll take it easy. I've earned a rest. Come on, Moses was 80 years old when he began this 40-year ministry in the wilderness. You know, I don't know. When you get close to 80, you kind of say, hey, you know, I think I've earned a little time off, maybe. Or at least a little slower pace. You go for that? Maybe.
Try not to.
But anyway, he didn't have to defend himself. I just want you to know who these guys are. And isn't it interesting that Korah lives right here, his tent is here, and the Reubenites are right there next to them. So they had a lot of spare time, apparently, and they get together. Well, what do you think of Moses? You know, he could do better, couldn't he? I mean, I don't like his personality. He's got this raspy voice when he talks, and, you know, I think he's just taking too much on himself, don't you think? You know? And maybe if there was tweets and Moses would tweet, they didn't like the words that he was tweeting from God. Well, Moses didn't tweet. He just got up and he announced, thus saith the Lord. Here's the law of the Lord. Okay? And they didn't like it. They didn't like the way they were pushing on through the wilderness. They didn't like it. I'll go back and show you what happened just a few months before this. Or maybe it wasn't months. I don't know. Just a little while before this, there was another rebellion. And a little while before that, there was another rebellion. And before that, they rebelled against the food. They rebelled against the drink. They rebelled against everything there was to rebel against. They were full of rebellion. So let's go on. Let's see how it's dealt with. Now, here's going to be the solution to the problem. God is going to make a choice. You're fussing about Aaron. You're fussing about me. Here's what the Lord says. Every one of you take a censer. Now, this is the Korah, K-O-R-A-H, and his buddies. All right? He said, they're Levites now. He spake to Korah and all his company, take, God will show who is holy and who will come near to him, even to them whom he hath chosen, he will cause to come near to him. So do this, take censers, Korah and your company. Now we're going to see two companies here. Actually, they're coming as one, but they're kind of divided. Have you noticed this sometimes? That the enemies of God are even divided? Haven't you noticed this in the Mideast? These people that rise up against God, these people that rise up against Israel, and they say, well, if only we could have our way, we would have one great caliphate, we would have one great Allah, you know, and everything else. You know what? Give it to them and they'll be fighting among each other in a little bit. Which is their history. So, the same thing is going on back here. All right, take censers, put fire therein, and put incense in them. So, how many of you know what a censer is? Any of you guys used to be Catholics? Did the priests swing these little things? So, a little brass cup or something with hung on chains, and they'd put some smelly stuff in there, and they'd swing it back and forth, and it had. This is what they were doing. This is what Moses said: take these little things, and in this case, they were brazen censers. Okay, and put fire. So that means they had to go to the. I'll assume they went to the outer court and they took fire from the brazen altar. Okay, they took the hot coals from the burning wood and put them in their censer, and they put incense on. Now, he said, we're going to give the Lord overnight. He's going to sort this out. So tomorrow, it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. He's giving it right back to them. You're rebelling, you guys. And Moses said to Korah, hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the Lord of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do service to the tabernacle of the Lord and stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Do you think it's a small thing that you Kohathites have been chosen with, shall we say, the most honorable position among all the Levites? You get to carry the sacred holy furniture when we move. And some of you even carry the Ark of the Covenant. Do you think this is a small thing? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee to seek you the priesthood also? Are you looking for something more? You want the priesthood as well.
Reminded me of Satan, all that he was and all that he had, and he rebelled against God because he wanted.
Absolutely. The nature of Satan, he wasn't satisfied to be one of the three, as far as we know, the three chosen archangels. He wanted something more. And when you find this out in the world, you're finding the nature of Satan. You find it among politicians. My, oh my, do we see it these days. For which cause... Oh, by the way, did you hear... our politician is getting an Emmy Award for his pronouncements of COVID. I've never heard of an Emmy Award being given for that. I don't even know what an Emmy is. These guys that give out these awards must be so bored they don't know what to do.
It's what actors get.
Yeah, it's what. Yeah. So he's putting on an act. Anyway, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. No, notice you're not gathered against me. You're gathered against the Lord. Okay? And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? I don't find Aaron, you know, I don't find Aaron having a whole lot of ambition to exalt himself. Do you, Larry? I mean, Aaron has got some things in his past that I think he would like everybody to forget. How he was behind that golden calf thing. And God forgave him. No, Aaron is not looking for a higher position.
But I think if you study that, he was kind of pushed into it.
Yeah.
He didn't initiate it, people did.
No, Aaron does not have a lot of political ambition. He has ambition to murmur against Moses, however. We'll look back at that if we get time. Okay? Him and Miriam murmur against their brother, which is rebellion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you murmur and tale bear, it's rebellion. Tell bad tales about it. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram. Now, this is the other side of the rebellion. First he's addressing Korah. Now he's addressing... And by the way, you don't find anything about this fellow named An. He must have dropped out of the rebellion here because his name isn't given anymore. So he calls Dathan and Abiram. You know, Larry, I think that Dathan and Abiram were troublemakers back in Egypt. I just have a feeling that they were. I have a feeling that they were some of the guys. What was the position where they were over the...
Dathan.
Yeah, they were over the slaves.
Yeah,
they were the next in line after the Egyptian overseers, and they were the ones who brought the whip to their own people. I have a feeling that these guys were involved in rebellion. I believe they were some of the ones that were challenging Moses. Well, you've done all this and we're still not free. It's getting worse. Moses, you got to do something about it. You know? I think they were ringleaders. And finally, God is going to deal with them. It came to a head. See, every evil, unrighteous thing has to come to its fullness. And when it does, God will deal with it. Boy, I'm wondering if we're coming to any kind of fullness in things here in America. I hope God deals with them. Amen? I hope God deals with this spirit of socialism. It's a spirit. It's coming in here.
It's just a nice name for communism.
Yes, it is. It's another name for communism. And that equals totalitarianism. We're one big ruler.
Very bad. Very bad.
Book of Revelation warns us these things are coming. They come so creeping in that we hardly recognize them. All right, let's go on. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up? Oh, here's their complaint. That thou hast brought us up out of the land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? They are saying to Moses, you brought us out of the land of milk and honey. You guys, your memory is so short. You were slaves down there. Don't you remember the feel of the whip on your back when you were dragging these stones and building these pyramids and building these cities?
The Pharisees said, we've never been a slave to anyone.
Oh boy, but they have been.
That's what they believe. They said that to Jesus.
Yeah.
Never been in bondage to anyone.
So they're saying their days of bondage were milk and honey. It was great back there. You forgot? You didn't get a paycheck? Forgot all that, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Moreover, here's their complaint, thou hast not brought us into the land that flows with milk and honey. Let's go back a minute, not right now, but let me go back just two chapters back. They had the opportunity at Kadesh Barnea. They sent the 12 spies in, right? And only Joshua and Caleb said, we can go in. The rest of you, including you guys, said, no, we can't go in. And now you tell me I didn't bring you to the land of milk and honey? No, you refused to cross over into the land of milk and honey because you were afraid and you didn't have any faith. You didn't believe God could do it. You saw Him take you across the Red Sea. You saw Him bring you out of Egypt, but you didn't think He could take you over into the promised land. So here you are, stuck in the wilderness, and you're going to be here for a while. 38 more years to be exact. All right? Or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. No, we don't get any real estate yet either. By the way, you two guys, you're not going to get any inheritance. There won't be any for you two. Maybe your sons, maybe your grandchildren. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. In other words, Moses is inviting them to come to the showdown. And the next morning, they said, no, we're not going anywhere. We're staying right here in our tent. We're going to stay right here. And we're going to see you go down, Moses. We've taken a vote. We've counted all the votes. Moses, you're losing. All right, Moses said, we'll have God count the votes. We'll see which way it goes. Okay? And Moses was, oh, Moses, you shouldn't have done this. It says Moses was very wroth. Moses did have a little problem sometimes, didn't he? Moses needs to overcome that little fire in him, too. It's going to keep him out of the promised land. But nevertheless, God is going to stick with him. He'll lead the people up until the point.
Well, the word says in the New Testament to not be angry without a cause. He did have a cause.
He had a cause.
What kept him out of the promised land was he struck the rock.
He acted on his anger. Yeah.
He has a cause here. So.
Okay, that's a good point, Rita.
But Moses did have a... You know, you look at Scripture and... all the godly men have something in them that they need to overcome.
Really?
And he says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath either. So you don't want to hold it forever.
But Moses had an anger problem.
Yeah, he did. He had a problem.
Wait a minute. It does also say that Moses was the meekest.
He was meek. Yeah, you can be meek and still have that thing fire up once in a while.
You'll find in the Old Testament, anybody you know alive now that was had that humility and that humbleness. Yes, he had a little something, a little gravel in his character. But who do you compare him to? As Jesus said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone.
Okay, well, let's go on. It says that he was very wroth, and he said to the Lord, okay? He said to the Lord, respect not their offering. In other words, he's talking about these incense offerings now, too. Lord, I don't believe it's of you. I pray that you don't respect it. Don't give favor to it, Lord. Okay? I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. I never took one of your little donkeys. I didn't hurt any one of you. I never stole a thing from you. Okay? And Moses said to Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. So he's setting up a meeting tomorrow. But these Dathan and Abiram, the Reubenites, they said, no, we're not coming to no meeting. You let Korah go to his meeting. Okay? And take every man his censer, and put incense in, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, and also thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. I didn't know they had 250 censers out there. What'd they have that many for? Maybe there were that many Levites. I don't know. There must have been a lot of Levites. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. See where they're standing now. They're over here at the door of the tabernacle with Moses and Aaron. Okay? And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. The cloud of glory came down. How many of you believe that the children of Israel knew what that meant? They saw that mist, they saw that cloud coming and gathering at the door of the congregation, and they knew that the Lord showed up. There was going to be a visitation. And not every visitation is a pleasant encounter. And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. What God is saying is, I'm gonna do the whole congregation of Israel. I'm going to do them all. I am so upset with the whole nation. Now, is Moses going to let God, that word, go unchallenged before God? You see, the intercessors are the great ones of God. When God says, I'll destroy the whole nation, the intercessor stands up and says, whoa, wait a minute. Are you sure? You know, the heathen are going to give you a bad reputation over this. They're going to say you weren't able to bring them in. You brought them out of Egypt, but you couldn't finish it. You know, things like that. All right, so, and they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Come on, just get the guilty, Lord. Everybody here isn't guilty. Just take care of them. This is the prayer now that Moses is praying. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, say, get you up from about the tabernacle or the tent of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Get away from their tents. Now, like I said, these guys live close to each other. The action's going to be down in here now, south of the tabernacle. Okay? Separate yourselves from among the congregation. Okay, no, I'm verse 24. Speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. So you see, Dathan and Abiram did not come to this meeting. Korah was there with his men and their censers, but we got to go a little further south into the tents of these two brothers. Now, apparently they were brothers, and apparently they had their tents quite close to each other. All right, their families were maybe next door, each tent next to the other. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sin. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram, so these are the two now, the two Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. Uh-oh. I heard an uh-oh. They're standing there. What posture do you think you would describe them in? Give me a nice word for it. 99-cent word. Well, it was rebellion, brazen, Oh, there's a good word.
Boldly?
Bold, yeah.
Defiant.
That's a good word. Defiant. And they had a defiant look on their face. And proudly standing, presenting their wife, their sons, their little ones, their daughters. We're not going anywhere. We're staying put. Moses, it's you. That's what they were thinking. And Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind, of my own will." Okay? If these men die the common, the natural death, like all men, of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Remember what Elijah said when they sent the squads of 50 against him? He said, "If I be the servant of the Lord, let fire come." So the devil was challenging Elijah with these squad, what do you call them? I lost the word.
Squad.
No, where they send police in. Squad. No.
SWAT.
SWAT. SWAT. Now I keep wanting to say squad. SWAT team. SWAT team. Yes. Okay. So now Moses is saying the same thing. Then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, I believe the Lord had to put this in his mouth to say this. If the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertains unto them, and they go down quick to the pit, and the word pit here is actually Sheol. I looked it up. It's number 7585. You can look it up if you want. If they go down to Sheol, okay, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. How many of you want to get on the wrong side of God? Guess who's going to win? If you sense that you're on the wrong side of God, brethren, get on the other side as quick as you can. And it came to pass that as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave. Do you know what the word clave means? It's cleave. To cleave means to open up. The ground clave asunder that was under them. This had to be a frightening thing to see. The ground just opens up. You know, it does that with earthquakes. I saw the pictures in Alaska in 1964, the Good Friday earthquake, and what it did down in the realm, in the regions of Anchorage. They had a subdivision called the Turnagain Arms, and this, oh, terrible things. Whole houses. One whole street right down the middle of Anchorage. It happened to be the street where all the bars were. We had one in Fairbanks like that too. It didn't open up. And Fairbanks got flooded, by the way, right up to the second floor windows. That street. It was the downtown. And in Anchorage, the earth opened up and just a whole side of the street just went down. I've asked people what become. They say it's a parking lot now. Nobody can ever build on that place. So if it happens again, the cars are going to go down. Anyway, the earth opened up, and all the men that appertained to Korah and all their goods. Do you see the picture? These guys standing, what was the word you used again, Linda?
Defiant.
Defiant. These fellas standing defiantly in their tents. Guy's got his arm around his wife, kids on each side.
Oh, bad.
Just like that. You can tell, there's a defiant look. You give body language. These guys had to have this body language.
And proud.
Proud. Proud of the rebellion that they had stirred up against Moses. They were sure that they were gonna dethrone that Moses. They're going to put him off his position of president or whatever, prophet or whatever they called him. Anyway, he was the head honcho, and they're going to put him off. And boy, they're going to be famous, and they're going to get an Emmy for it, or whatever they're going to get for it. You know? And it says, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. That means when they were going down, they were screaming at the cry of them. As the ground began, see, the ground would begin to deteriorate. And the deterioration was moving fast. And they could not run fast enough to get ahead of the breaking down of the edge of this thing. And they were screaming and crying. Little children screaming and crying. They went with their parents. Boy, if I'd have been a 16-year-old boy standing next to my dad doing a thing like that, I would have said, Dad, you're in the wrong boat. I'm bailing out now. But as long as they stuck with them. Okay, now I don't believe these little children are suffering in hell today. But their life was snuffed out because of their parents. Because of the rebellion of their parents. Amen? I'll read it again. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord. Now, okay, now here's group number two. There's fire involved in this rebellion too. See, they go down to the pit. And what's in the pit? Jesus said what was in the pit. He told what the rich man was enduring. He said, there's fire down here. Can't you just give me a drop of water, cool my tongue? Can't you send Lazarus? So there was fire there, and now for those who weren't, see, this is the other group now that were separated. This is the Kohathites, or the Korah followers. There came out a fire from the Lord. Do you suppose that glory cloud was still kind of hanging around? And the fire came out, amen, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So they apparently didn't go into the open ground, but they were consumed with fire. What was the thing that was consuming them? Their rebellion. So God said, this fire is consuming you. I'll show everybody what it is. And you know what's going to go on in Sheol? The same fire is going to be consuming them. They're going to be burned with the heat, and they wish they could have a little water to cool that rebellion that is never going to leave them. Forever and ever, that spirit of rebellion will torment them. You know, the more things you've got to torment you, the worse your fire is going to be. I don't mean your fire. I mean their fire. Okay? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. These were holy censers. These were the Levite censers were holy. And the fire was holy. They took it from the brazen altar. Amen? The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make broad plates for a covering of the altar. That would be the brazen altar. For they offend them offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. See, even though they did it amiss, it was still done before the Lord. It was still something holy. They did it wrong, but the Lord said, "Now I'm taking the censers. We're going to make something else out of them. See, this was copper. They were made of copper, and I really don't know whether they really had real bronze or brass. I think it was, when they said brazen, I think it meant mainly copper, and copper is malleable. I don't know that brass itself is. Brass is pretty hard. I don't think you could form that with a hammer, could you, Jeremy? But copper, you can. Didn't you make something of copper when you were in a metal shop or something in school? Did take a little hammer.
Copper's definitely softer than
that. Yeah, I remember we had little sheets of copper, and I was good at. I took some easy courses, you know, metal shop, wood shop, you know. Get me through.
Man of many talents.
Yeah. I remember we made a little picture. I don't know. I must have made a picture of a horse or a cowboy or something. And you tap it with a hammer and it makes a little indentation. So they were taking these censers and they were working them over with the hammers, and they made big shields to cover the brazen altar. I suppose they would cover it when they would move it then, and it would have a brazen cover over it, over the top. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers. This Eleazar is the son of Aaron. Okay, Eleazar and Ithamar now are the only two sons of Aaron that are alive. Took the brazen censers wherewith they had they that were burnt and offered, and they were made into broad plates for the covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not a seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, and he be not of Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, listen, they're not finished yet. All the company of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." Moses, it's your fault! You're killing us all! And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered again, they saw the ground open up, they saw the fire, and they're not finished. What does God think of us? What does He think of us people in our land today?
Oh boy.
You know, all the people that love Trump are not righteous people. At a drop of a hat, they could rebel just as quickly. Oh, I know they could.
Such is the heart of man.
Mm-hmm. They're not all righteous people. They love our good tradition. They love traditional values. That's a good thing. But it's not all the kingdom of God. So they gathered against Moses and against Aaron, and they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it. The Lord showed up again, and He is not happy this time. And the glory of the Lord appeared. You think everything good comes from the glory of the Lord? Well, you see, the glory of the Lord is a purifying thing. And what happened? And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Get ye up from among the congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their face. That's the second time God is threatening, I'm going to take care of the whole thing. I'll leave you and Aaron. Well, God, what kind of a nation is that to bring into the promised land? Just me and Aaron? And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a censer." All right, now, I believe there are two kinds of censers. I may be wrong. I believe the censer that Aaron is going to take, the priests, not the Levites, I believe the censer that the priests have is going to be a golden censer. I have a little problem proving it, except that in Hebrews it speaks of the golden censer, and it relates the golden censer to the golden altar. The golden altar itself is called a censer. And why do I say I believe the priest's censer was gold? Because I don't believe that any brass was allowed inside of the holy place. I don't believe any brass was allowed in there. Of anything that went in there had to be gold. Okay? So Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar. This is holy fire now. And put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Here you have a plague. You know, it'd be interesting sometime to really study every time the word plague is used. We studied the plagues of Egypt. But there are other plagues here too. Do you know that there was a plague that went out after they rebelled against the Lord at Kadesh Barnea? The ten men that brought an evil report, a plague went out and killed them. Right there. How can people be so blind? They don't see this. They don't understand what happens when you come against the Lord. So a plague had begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. So now Aaron has to run all the way around through these tribes, and he's taking this censer with him, and he's praying. He said, "Oh God, oh God!" And Moses is back here as well. He sent Aaron out with the censers. The incense is going out. The mercy of God is spreading, but the plague is moving ahead of them. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed, it says. The plague was stayed. Now they that died of the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. Boy, that sounds like the news every hour of the news report here today. Well, this county has 17,000, this one has some, this state has so many thousand. The total for the Americas, man, they're keeping all kinds of statistics about the plague. Well, they had statistics here. 14,000 people is a lot of people, isn't it? It's a lot of people. And Aaron returned unto Moses at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Boy, that's taken up my time. I wanted to go back and just maybe we should another time. Just look at Kadesh Barnea and look at what happened to Miriam and Aaron. Well, it really ties together. It's a continuation of rebellion. When will rebellion come to an end? How much death is it going to take for people to see? How much of the judgment of God? How much of the fire of God? How much of the plague are we going to have to see until people will repent? Do you know, I believe that if we repent, if our president, well, because they wouldn't do it. I would like to say if the president were to get up and call everybody to repentance, it would be a great idea, but the people wouldn't repent. We're not ready to repent. There's got to be a lot more tribulation yet before people are ready. They've got to see a lot more thousand people die, and they have to know why the judgment happened to them. They have to know it was the hand of God. The scientists are not going to say the hand of God did it. That's what you get from science.
Maybe the news media will.
Dream on. Dream on, brother. Then the news media would have repented. Yes, if the news media repented in one, yes, as one man, But you see, even the men who preach repentance, they won't give them the time of day. I believe that Graham, what's his name?
Franklin.
I believe he would preach repentance. Dave Wilkerson would have preached repentance, and he did preach repentance. But he's gone now. God needs to raise up a voice and a call for repentance yet in this day. God bless you.